The following is a presentation of the Chicago Bears Network and ChicagoBears.com. Download the Chicago Bears official mobile app for up-to-the-minute Bears content every day. And now, welcome to Bears All Access, your all-access pass into Chicago Bears football. Bears All Access is brought to you by IGS Energy and sponsored by Athletico Physical Therapy and CDW.
Hope you're having a great evening, everybody. Welcome in to Bears All Access here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. And again, congratulations on 30 great years to The Score. What a great day yesterday for all those who work and have worked, present, past, and I'm sure there are some future scoreheads out there that will one day find their way to this station. Anyway, we are brought to you by IGS Energy. Jeff Joniak with you, along with Super Bowl winning Bear Tom Thayer, and our weekly guest, former Bears quarterback Jim Miller from SiriusXM NFL Radio's Moving the Chains. Thank you, as always, to our producer, Jordan Tredup. Our score producer tonight, Adam Studzinski. Coming up, we visit at the bottom of the hour with NFL Network's Adam Rank. And, boys, good to talk to you. We are back. It's coming back, Big Tommy. Coming up, rookies reporting this weekend, getting acclimated, and then the vets report on Tuesday. That's when we'll get a State of the Union from GM Ryan Poles and head coach Matt Eberflus. Tommy?
Yeah, but, you know, Jeff, the off season nowadays, it presents so many topics of interest. Whether you're going through a coaching change, the draft, free agency, what's going on a weekly basis in the landscape of the NFL. But then, you know, you kind of – you don't ease into the NFL season. You get punched in the face by the beginning of training camp. And when that gets underway – you know, there isn't, you know, kind of a ramp-up period. It's the point where you go to training camp and everything that you did throughout your OTAs and the mandatory mini camp is so much more serious now than it was 2 months ago, a month ago, because this is the determining factor on the coaches and players alike.
Hey, Big Jim, the one thing, Tom is right about the intensity and all that, but it is different from what you guys went to, because the punch in the face isn't the same, because you don't get into pads until a few days later. I think it's a 4-day period. So I think Saturday, July 30th, starts the pads on all training camps as collectively bargained.
Yeah, well, like you said, that's the quote-unquote acclimation period, right? Remember, Tom, we used to show up, we had our physicals, we did our you know, agility test, or, you know, you had to make sure you were in shape, so you had to pass your test. The next day, we were in pads. Right, Tom? 2-a-days.
Yep.
Right?
And yep.
It never stopped. And it used to go 6 weeks. It's not that way anymore. They have this acclimation period, and all these guys are doing is working out all year, so I advise them to come in shape. This group of coaches and this GM, I think, has made it very clear you better be ready to compete, and if you're not in shape, you're not even giving yourself a chance to make the team. So I'd be serious as a heart attack about it for any Bears player showing up to camp.
I was up there today for a preview of how it's all going to go down from a media perspective, but fans now fully back, interacting with players, work being done to set it all up. Practices will generally start around 10 a.m. There are different times, but 11 public practices. They require a free ticket. You can get those at chicagobears.com/camp, and the Illinois Office of Tourism, the title sponsor, once again, for Bears training camp. Parking at Hawthorne Mall in Vernon Hills, shuttle buses to get you to Hallis Hall. And that's another part of this. When you guys were on the practice field, whether you were dreading the second of the 2-a-days or the first one in the morning, not sure which one, but the fans that turned out for your camps, it really created a whole different environment than what everyone is used to. Right, guys? And Jimmy?
Well, yeah, for me, it definitely – well, it was twofold. You know, when – you know, obviously we were up in Platteville my first couple of training camps, and that was great. You know, I always enjoyed going away to camp, because you really can just focus in the dorm room and just, you know, focus on what you need to do. You're gelling as a team. And then, of course, we moved to Bourbonnais, and that was really just an explosion of fans. I remember that first Saturday open practice in Bourbonnais, it just seemed like the fans were in droves, and they were about 10 deep all around the practice field. and wherever we move to, and it is. I think it's special, and it you know, and most teams aren't going away anymore. I think we understand that, but I'm glad the Bears are able to bring the fans into Halas Hall where they can experience that atmosphere. But you know, maybe I'm old school. I did somewhat like going away because to me it was not that you're away from your family and you like that, but it really to me got me in the mood of what I was there to do. You know, I really could get focused in and get the routine of what I needed to do, and it was just nice just to focus on football.
That's a quarterback's perspective. Tom, what's yours?
You know, I hated going to Platteville because when we were in Platteville for training camp, there was a road that separated the practice fields, and you would have these people that would drive their car through the middle of practice, and they would yell out, "Bears suck, go Packers," and you had to listen to that every day. But I did like the fan support. I love the opportunity to get the fans that would take their time, maybe take a mini vacation out of it and come there. But, you know, in the Platteville days, they were guaranteed there would be two padded practices every day. When we went down to a Bourbonnais, when things went down to Bourbonnais as a broadcaster, then they had, you know, separated practices, but it was still the Bears fans were surrounding those practice fields, and thousands a day would come, and there'd be plenty of parking and plenty of standing in seating areas. And I just, I love the support, you know, being an ex-player and walking out there and just hear the sound of the crowd and seeing those guys that would show up there to be first in line every single day throughout training camp. It was an awesome sight to see. But, you know, Jim and I never really had facilities like the modern-day Halas Hall is. Yeah. And when you have four practice fields, you have an indoor facility, you have your cafeteria, your weight room, your media accessibility, or the video department where it was better for that crew. I don't know. It seems like an easier way to go about your business. But I always feel bad because I love the fan support and the reward it gave the guys on the practice field, but it also gave the fans that showed up.
All right, guys, we're going to take a break. We'll be coming back to you shortly. We have coming up at the bottom of the hour, Adam Rank from NFL Network, big Bears fan, and he's got a lot of opinions about what the Bears are going to be here in 2022. We'll break down some roster battles, talk about what we fully expect at training camp. Coming up here on Bears All Access, it's brought to you by IGS Energy on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Welcome back to Bears All Access, brought to you by IGS Energy. Choose clean energy for your home at IGS.com because every good choice adds up to a better world. Former Bears quarterback Jim Miller from SiriusXM NFL Radio is moving the chains, along with my broadcast partner from WBBM News Radio 105.9, Tom Thayer, getting ready for training camp. Significant roster turnover, Tom. We're going to get to know a lot of new faces, guys that, you know, are undrafted, guys that could be coming in throughout the course of training camp, waiting to see what the development is of the offense and how the new defense is going to look. There's so much to break down. It is really going to be a challenge to take it all in. Where are your eyes going to go on the first few practices and throughout the first week of training camp?
You know, there's specific position battles, obviously, that we're going to have to look at because, you know, yeah, you're going to have to look and see how the scheme ultimately comes into shape. But to me, I'm looking at individuals. I want to see – I need an answer to the offensive tackle position almost first and foremost. I need to know what group of these offensive tackles, and I don't care where you're drafted, I don't care what school you played, what your background is, can you play at the NFL level within this system? And for the first week, I'm going to pay attention to the offensive tackle position primarily to see, okay, who do I believe can play and who do I know I don't think can play? And so some of those types of things are going to rear its ugly head if you see guys out there that just don't have the bendability, the athleticism, the snap count anticipation, the mental part of it that you need to be that you have to be as sharp as anybody out there. When I look also kind of at the athleticism portion of it, the cornerbacks, because it's not necessarily how the cornerback fits into the scheme of the down and distance. I want to see if they have the hip movement. Do they have the feet to play that position? Because all those elements, if you do have the athleticism, that makes you coachable. And so you got to see where is that next group of defensive backs, cornerbacks specifically, going to step up and show their athleticism within the first couple non-padded practices that lead into the padded practices. And then I got to see the tight end position, Jeff, because their inclusion of the offense is serious. They got to be online blockers. They got to be H-backs. They have to be moving tight ends. They got to be tight ends that are lined up off the line of scrimmage. And then I think all of us know that if they don't provide some type of spark in the red zone, which is a drill they do with regularity at practices, that's going to hurt the tight end position. So you're going to have performance from some tackles, from some cornerbacks that maybe that we're not aware of yet, and then the tight end position as a whole, from first down to the red zone.
So, Jim, he's looking at tackles, corners, and tight ends. Where are your eyes going to be going? I know they're going to number one.
Well, here, I'm going to start with this one, Jeff. All the reporters that wrote about the first OTA practice, make sure you're out there to write about this first training camp practice and see how far this group has gone to where they are now. And then see where they are at the end of training camp for these groups. One, just how they practice, the tempo of it, how the intensity of it, because it's going to be ratcheted up big time, in my opinion. This is going to be a very competitive training camp. And I'm with Tom. I think when you're watching like offensive line groups, if a guy's screwing up, hey, man, next guy in. I think it's going to be that grueling of a training camp. Hey, that you missed that opportunity. Next man up. Let's go. Because that's how they're going to be testing guys to see if they're ready. All right? You don't want to be missing those reps. It's going to be highly competitive, and the pressure will be cranked up big time on these players. And, yes, of course, Jeff, I'll be watching Justin Fields, just how smooth he is, just how he's grown as a quarterback. I want to see where his footwork is, how it marries up with the pass plays, whether it's play action or drop back that he's doing. I want to see his command. I want to see his leadership. I want to see him raising the level of player, raising the level of players' play on the offensive side of the ball and doing all the things that you need to do for him to grow as a quarterback. But his command and how the team responds to him is what I'm going to be following big time when I'm at camp.
I'll be looking at just the overall attitude, effort, and consistency of that effort throughout the course of training camp, because it's a clean slate. We've heard everybody's got a clean slate. Doesn't matter. As Tommy indicated, where you came from, what round, traded, acquired, picked up off of waivers, they're going to evaluate the guys that are going to give the best effort and can play on the final 53. So I'm going to be watching that. But how quickly the defense develops a consistency and a chemistry, because they're a bunch of young guys blending with some veterans, and what they're going to be able to do up front, and how they can develop some sort of confidence and swagger collectively. Right down the middle, obviously, is going to be big. There's some big names being replaced on this defense, and just how they all settle in with this unit and what their eyes and what their feet are going to tell them. And then, and of course, the wide receivers. There will be a lot of discussion. I believe what there are 19 receivers on the roster right now or something like that. It's going to be interesting to see how that all shakes out, where they stack up, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and who emerges and what N'Keal Harry brings to the table. The guy's getting a great opportunity for a second chance. He's a beast of an athlete. He's a big dude. He's got a great, great athleticism. And not only does he have untapped potential in the passing game and to make big plays, he's an outstanding run blocker. So this team is likely going to be a team that sets up the offense with that running game. So those are some of the things I'm looking forward to over the course of the beginning of camp and taking it right straight through.
But isn't it crazy that we're talking about wide receivers and how good of a run blocker they are?
Yeah.
Because,
well,
you know,
same
usually,
with Byron Pringle.
But in the offenses that Jim and I grew up, for the most part, it was a point of attack, an isolation, inside running game, inside the shoulders of the tackle. So if a wide receiver was required to make a block, you hope he made a block downfield. Here, these guys are required to make a block because they're at or near the point of attack. So what they do and how they shut down their defender is going to be instrumental to the success of the outside zone running play.
And Jim's talked about it a great deal. So here, David Montgomery, he's working. More pictures of him working. He's working at the backs at Northwestern, just working every last chance, and we come to expect that from him. But for Jim, you know, what happens up front for him to hit those holes with this offensive line developing and Herbert and the rest of the guys? He's had the seventh most rushing yards since 2020 in the NFL. And, he's in a contract year.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there are landmarks you have to hit. You know, I always say it, if they, you know, again, this is the Packers outside zone scheme that's coming here. Not that they're not going to run inside zone, but they want to get you going laterally on defense. But there's landmarks that these running backs are looking for. All right, so if I call stretch 8, which is the outside zone run play to the right, or stretch 9, which is to the left, really their aiming point is 2 yards. So if I call, say, you know, I write stretch 8, David Montgomery's aiming point is going to be 2 yards outside that tight end. So his starting point, and as a quarterback, you're busted out from underneath the center to get the ball to him because he wants a target 2 yards outside the tight end. Now he's reading the tight end. If that tight end and that defensive end start getting a battle where it goes wide, now he'll look at that landmark, put his foot in the ground, and cut up field. If the tight end is able to hook him, he'll stay on that 2-yard path right outside that tight end and continue on that path, and then he's on to the second level where maybe there's a linebacker scraping or the corner's out there now converging, and he'll deal with that. But, you know, he has these aiming points and things that he's reading from that tight end that's really going to tell him what to do. And it could be that block that Tom's talking about by the receiver on the outside. Does he got to bounce it even outside that corner? If that corner has inside technique, maybe that the flanker is now forcing and collapsing that corner inside where he's going to bounce it out even more to take it up the sideline. Or if the flanker has a kickout block and is able to maybe muscle the corner into the sideline, the same thing. He'll put his foot in the ground, he'll cut inside, and now he's working up the field that way. So there's numerous things going on, but he's reading all these things and has his landmarks that he has to follow.
You know, I think it's a great explanation of the outside zone running play and how effective it is. Because if the Bears are great at it, not good, not decent, not average in course of the NFL, if they're great at it, it's going to open up so many more opportunities for this offense, for the athleticism of Justin Field, for the backside of the offense if their defense is so determined to laterally chase this outside zone running plays. And then you get a couple guys on the backside of an opponent's defense that they don't have the discipline to stay home just in case that happens. Look for some backside plays to open up significant long-distance pass routes for the receiver, possibly a running lane for Justin, you know, naked bootlegs to the outside. So it's a play that if they do it perfectly, it's going to open up a lot more opportunities for this offense.
Time to take another break. Tom Thayer, Jim Miller, Jeff Joniak here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. This segment of Bears All Access is brought to you by Athletico Physical Therapy. Visit athletico.com to request an appointment in clinic or virtually and start feeling better tomorrow. Jeff Joniak, along with Tom Thayer and Jim Miller, former Chicago Bears, getting you ready for training camp next week. Jim, what are you expecting from Luke Getsy as a first-time offensive coordinator calling plays in 2022?
Yeah, I think it's, you know, I think he's going to structure it similarly, but yet it's different than Green Bay. I think the movement plays, I think you're going to see even quarterback draws. I think you're going to see an RPO influence, things that Justin Fields did very well in college, but definitely use the assets. Aaron Rodgers is an athletic player. There's no doubt about that. But it's not like they're going into game plans with quarterback draws, you know, lined up. And I think you can create packages much like, say, Buffalo does with Josh Allen. They actually do have a check with Mies where he'll audible to a quarterback draw. It depends on the box numbers and things like that where you can get to the play. So I think it's going to get to that point with Justin Fields. I don't know how in-depth it is now, but I think as it grows along and the offense starts to grow, I think you're going to see more package plays, but it's going to be an emphasis on the athleticism of Fields. That outside zone stretch play that we just talked about, that's going to set up a lot of things that Tom just talked about, from the bootleg nakeds to the waggles. And then you're going to branch off of that. You're going to have the dash plays that he's going to be able to do to take advantage of his feet as well, and just really utilize that athleticism, because that's a strength of Justin Fields. You don't want to hide that. It's an asset that needs to be utilized. You don't want it to be to his detriment that he's getting hit. He's got to be smart to get down and get out of bounds. But I think we see other offenses that have done that. You know, and that's why I bring up Buffalo. So it will have the flair of Green Bay, the staple of things that they do. They want to bring that run game down here. But offensively, it's going to, to me, have a tone of like what Josh Allen and the Buffalo Bills do offensively, to take advantage of his athleticism. Go look up that guy's numbers running the ball and his touchdown scored for Josh Allen. And I expect, you know, a mixture of that for the Chicago Bears. And Getsy will be fine. He's just got to find that sweet spot of where he wants it to get to.
Tom, and the RPO, if it's a throw, who do you anticipate being the biggest benefactor this year in terms of catches off of RPO? Because of the way that works.
To me, I hope it's Cole Kmet and David Montgomery. I'm looking for downfield opportunities, no doubt about it. That's going to be your first desired target. However, if you get you have the respect that David Montgomery has been able to build over the first couple of years of his career. You know, there's not always a guy that can cover him. And now if Luke Getsy starts to get an appreciation for how good David Montgomery's hands are, then you're going to see these over-influenced you're going to see these over-influenced defenses maybe get David Montgomery out in the open. But then if you get these tight ends, starting with Cole Kmet, if they get the reputation of being these power blockers and they have these defenders in front of them that are going to stop this outside zone running play by putting a defensive end out there, and then Cole Kmet is able to run from the mismatch in the coverages, I like those guys in their opportunities. Because, and I repeat it year in and year out, I'm not looking for 75-yard touchdown passes. I'm looking for repeated first downs. And if this team can really produce significantly more first downs on the offensive side of the ball, it's going to help your defense. And now you're talking about guys like Montgomery and Cole Kmet involved in the passing game a little bit more than downfield strikes.
And keep increasing that catch rate on the catchable throws, 10 yards or more downfield. That'll give you those first downs and stretch the field. All right, nationally, media outlets not showing the Bears a ton of love. That probably is an expectation, given the fact that it is brand new, a lot of new bodies, not a new faces, a lot of question marks. But there is one man who's got an optimistic view of things ahead. He is Adam Rank. We'll join him next here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. See your Chicago Bears at Soldier Field August 9th for the Meyer Bears Family Fest. Tickets are just $10. Get yours at chicagobears.com. Jeff Joniak, along with former Bears Tom Thayer and Jim Miller, here on Bears All Access on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Our guest is one of the biggest Bears fans around, based out in L.A. from NFL Network. His name, Adam Rank. I call him the inimitable and excitable Adam Rank. The Sick Podcast at Sick Pod Adam Rank. Check it out. He is entertaining, and we see him on Good Morning Football and a lot of good stuff. Adam, how you doing? Good to talk to you again. What's going on?
Oh, my gosh. It's an honor and a privilege. When I get an email from the actual Bears PR department, it it raises an alarm. It's like getting an email from the White House or something. You're like, oh, my gosh, drop everything. What do you need me to do? You need me to come in and be on their show. I'm on there. So I got to tell you, I'm honored to be on with all three of you.
All right. Well, good to have you. Thanks for taking the time. It's the busy season now. You know, you've been creating column inches online, talking about what ifs and maybes, and now we get to see everything play out with a training camp at Hallis Hall with the fans coming in. A lot of battles, a lot of discussions about the Bears from national media. Not a lot of love for even some of the players that would be put in the star category. as they look at things. What is your perspective on what you've been reading about the Bears from everybody other than you?
Yeah, you know what? There's a huge disappointment for me. Now, obviously, if you want to look at the offensive line, there is not a lot of clarity there. We don't know who's playing where. We haven't seen a lot of these guys in pads yet. If you want to have some skepticism or at least some questions, that's fair. If you don't think Justin Fields has it, I don't know what you've been watching over the last 5 years, but whatever, you can have some skepticism. I think the things where I really get upset, excuse me, is where you start talking about guys like Darnell Mooney. And I know it's only Madden ratings or PFF ratings or anything like that. I just don't think he's getting the respect that he deserves.
And you and Tom both hacking it up tonight. You guys okay? You guys need some oxygen?
I picked up a little something in New York, so
okay.
Trying to battle through that.
Feel better.
Coming back from Good Morning Football last. I will. But the thing with Darnell, I think that's what offends me the most. Like, why people don't think he's the number one receiver, I'll never understand.
Tommy, are you there?
But yeah. Okay. Adam, but when you think about what they, you know, the perception of Darnell Mooney, that's kind of a wait and see how they fit in the offense. When you start thinking about the team a couple months ago when they announced the schedule, do you go over the schedule with a fine-tooth comb, or is it too far in advance to even think about where all the teams will be at the time of the season?
Yeah, that's a very interesting question, and it's one of the weird things about having to do schedule predictions, because you're projecting something that we don't know what's going to happen. We don't know what injuries are going to happen. We don't know how players pan out or anything like that. So it is a working theory, so to speak. And some people might think that I draw a very similar parallel to the young lady who was on Homeland coming up with these crazy, you know, these crazy theories and whatnot. And that's fine. But, you know, you're trying to figure out, like, where do you expect this team to be? And I think one of the things that I look at with the Bears is last season they won 6 games. That's it. You can't dispute that. They won 6 games. There were 3 very winnable games against good teams, against Baltimore, the Steelers, and the 49ers, that had they improved or if they'd been able to make a couple of stops, would have ended up winning those games. Now I look at the team, and this is, I guess this is one of the things, Jeff, and sorry, Tom, I know you asked the question, but, you know, when people ask, they just assume that the team got worse. They're like, oh, well, the team's not any better. I'm like, how are they not better? Like, I thought one of the biggest deficiencies last year was in the secondary. And I thought that Ryan Poles went out there and did a great job getting Kyler Gordon, one of the top cornerbacks in the draft. I expected us to draft a cornerback in the second round, and Kyler Gordon is one of the better ones. I'm surprised he was even there. I think teams are going to end up regretting that mistake, much like they regretted letting Jalen Johnson fall as far as he did. Jaquan Brisker is another player who, admittingly, you know, I did not know a ton about him coming into the draft. I knew he was a good player. He's from Penn State. He's from a good program. But obviously, once the Bears drafted him, I spent a little bit more time going through the tape, and I can't help but draw comparisons to a guy like Mike Brown. And not that the playing style is exactly the same, but like the football IQ of like always being in the right place at the right time. And you add those elements to a team that could be improved on defense. Matt Eberflus has shown over the course of his career, especially recently in Indianapolis, that he can take defenses and make them good immediately. That's, I think, where I'm coming from, where I'm like, I start projecting wins. Like, I think this team is better than this team. Because even, like, if you put them up against the Jets, for instance, and if you're a Jets fan, you might feel differently. But the Jets still need to do a lot of different things. Like, they did a nice job, too. Like, they put together a good draft plan, went out there, settled some things, and, you know, you hope that it comes through. But at the same time, I still am a believer in what the Bears did, and I think that there is an opportunity, you know, all things being healthy, the injuries are turned off on Madden or what have you, that they could still end up getting close to 9 to 10 wins.
Adam, Jim Miller, good to talk to you. And I love your honesty. You legitimately got choked up talking about Darnell Mooney. So I think you're brutally honest with that.
I'm upset. I'm upset. You know what, Jim? I'll tell you, like, I have two small children, a 7- and a 4-year-old. And a lot of times when you're dealing with children, you got to tell them, like, hey, is this something worth getting upset over? Like, step back and ask yourself the question, is this worth getting upset for? I need to ask myself that question. Like, I need to start, like, why am I so irrationally upset? Why do I let people on Twitter say stuff? Like, why does it bother me? I don't know. But then I get fired up. I lose my voice. Listen, yeah. And, you know, being in front of the three of you, it's a holy trinity. Like, I can't help but be a little nervous.
Yeah,
like,
well, this is where my question's going, because I get that way too now, you know, because, you know, here, because I do radio every single day, and some things are realistic and some things aren't. You know, like, I'll talk to 49er fans, and they legitimately think Trey Lance is going to step in there and lead him to the Super Bowl and that he's better than Jimmy Garoppolo. So, when I step back and I'm realistic, and I'm saying, all right, what is realistic for Bears fans to think about Justin Fields and where his growth could be in year two in a new offense, in a new scheme from what he did a season ago? I'd like to hear your thoughts on that, of expectations for Justin Fields, and are they realistic right now?
You know, when I was looking at the quarterbacks last season, Trevor Lawrence being a saying unto himself, he was going to be the number one pick regardless. Everybody's wanted him to be the number one pick since he was a freshman at Clemson. So I take him out of the equation. But when you look at the quarterbacks between Justin Fields, Mac Jones, Zach Wilson, and Trey Lance, to me, this is the snobbery that I come from, is like, who are the guys who dominated in Power 5 conferences? Yeah. Okay, so I have Justin Fields and Mac Jones as better quarterbacks. Now, there's upside for Trey Lance. There's upside for Zach Wilson. But Zach Wilson played in for an independent team that was playing like not even Mountain West level competition. Like, they left the Mountain West, and somehow their conference or their division or their playing schedule got worse. And then Trey Lance didn't even play his last year, and he played at North Dakota State. And you're like, okay, like, they need more time to develop. We've seen Justin Fields and Mac Jones play very well at high levels of competition. And last year, when Justin Fields was given an opportunity, just look at his passer rating on play action, using a scheme that fits his strength. Like, he had a passer rating well above 100 when he was on the run. His air yards were close to 10 air yards per attempt when he was on the run. If you had a coaching staff that was taking advantage of what he is good at, then I think that we would have seen a more promising rookie season. Now, there are some legitimate concerns with him. I don't think it's the interceptions. I don't know where ESPN gets off saying that he's going to throw a ton of interceptions. That's never been part of his game. He's not an interception guy. He's had trouble holding on to the football. That's a fair criticism. That's something the coaching staff needs to correct. And I think that, you know, we can be honest with that. We can still believe in our guy. We just have to be honest that he's got to do a better job of protecting the football. But his in-rhythm throws, his on the run throws, like, he has shown the promise. And even that game against the Steelers, I thought that was the biggest thing of, like, where they were just, you know, in a bind. It's the 2-minute drill, like, okay, Justin has to just go out and play football. That's where he showed what he can do. The touchdown throw that he threw to Darnell Mooney, I mean, he rolls out, he extends the play. He and Darnell are on the same page of, like, you need to be in this spot in the end zone. I'm going to put it in the only place where you can find it. He found him. I think at the time, like, in the short window throws, like the one he threw to Jesper Horsted against Las Vegas, like, there's enough plays where you're like, this guy knows what he's doing. Like, some of Trey Lance's touchdowns, like, when they show his highlights, like, it's very telling. Like, it's like, oh, it's Deebo Samuel with nobody around him within 20 yards, who's slowing up for a football. Like, I don't know. Like, you know, I think that with a coaching staff that's now designing an offense for him, I think we're going to see a better version of Justin Fields this year.
Adam Rank, our guest here on Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. You willing to hang around for another few minutes?
Absolutely.
All right, we're going to take a break. Back with more with Adam Rank of NFL Network here on Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. This segment of Bears All Access is brought to you by CDW. People to get it. Former Bears quarterback Jim Miller from SiriusXM. NFL Radio is moving the chains with Pat Kerwin along with broadcast partner Tom Thayer. I'm Jeff Joniak. Adam Rank from NFL Network. Check out his podcast. He loves talking Bears. Sick podcast. What'd you come up with the sick part?
Oh, my gosh. That was a company I was working with. This company out of Montreal, they were doing sick highlights, and they started launching a couple of podcasts, and they found out that team-based podcasts did well, and I was doing some fantasy stuff for them, and they're like, hey, would you ever want to do one about a team? And I'm like, I would. They're like, what team would you like it to be? And I'm like, of course, the Bears. So it's an opportunity to go out there and talk some Bears, so I've been having a blast with it.
All right, so you are also a big fantasy guy. Who are you circling? Give me three guys. Give me like 15 seconds each on three guys that you are thinking high about for fantasy.
Do you want it to be from Bears or just from Bears?
Absolutely Bears.
You know, Darnell Mooney is obviously somebody who's being slept on. He's going to be the most targeted player in this offense. That's what you're looking for. Potential high-volume offense with high targets. We love David Montgomery. I think that if this is a run-based scheme, when you look at kind of what the Packers did, where Luke Getsy came from, you know, Aaron Jones did very well, not only as a runner, but also a receiver out of the backfield. David Montgomery's shown that he can catch the football, so we love him as well. And, you know, speaking of that Packers comparison, we're still looking for Cole Kmet to jump out. And I think that he has a lot of ability as well. And if you, again, you know, the lazy, like, cross comparison, Bob Tonyan a couple of years ago, I think he had 11 touchdowns, kind of came out of nowhere. I think Cole Kmet has that kind of ability. So those are some late-round guys. And, of course, Justin Fields. I'm going to give you four. Justin, of course. I'm not going to let him go either, just in case, you know, he puts up the monster fantasy stats because of his running ability.
You know, Adam, I'm kind of flabbergasted that I recently talked to some people in San Francisco, and they kind of believe it's a foregone conclusion that Trey Lance is going to come in here week one and beat the Bears convincingly. When you look at the Bears' support of the crowd on the road, making the snap count difficult for Trey Lance to get it to the offensive line, and then you got Justin Fields starting at home. If you just look at the two quarterbacks week one of the regular season, give me a little bit of your feelings on each of them.
You know, I'm not ready to concede this at all. I think that, again, that Trey Lance has a lot of ability. I think he's got a lot of promise. I think that he would probably be a player who would benefit, again, from maybe taking a little bit more time in a perfect situation if they could have Jimmy Garoppolo return. I know they've given him an opportunity to seek a trade. And to be honest, you know, Jimmy Garoppolo has had trouble, you know, being on the field. So I would think that at some point Trey Lance would get a chance, even if Jimmy was still there as the starter, although he's battled, you know, he might not even be ready for the start of the season. But I think it's a little much. I understand he was the third overall selection in the draft, but sometimes picking a guy ahead of another, I mean, you know, Bears fans can speak well on this. Like, just because your guy gets drafted before other quarterbacks in a draft doesn't mean that he's better. So I think that the 49er fans need to just slow their roll a little bit. And let's look at what Justin Fields did last time these two teams met up. Everybody knows that when you start going through the highlight film of Justin Fields from last season, we talked about the Pittsburgh game before. We also talk about that incredible fourth down run that he turned from a fourth and short into a touchdown. And I think that kind of ability, and that was a game that had the Bears been able to make a couple of stops, should have actually won that game. That was a winnable game for the Bears, had things broken in their favor. Obviously, they did it. And if you want to take this one step further, you can go ahead and look at what happened last season when Indianapolis played the San Francisco 49ers. Matt Eberflus and his defense shut down the 49ers. So that, of anything that gives me the most confidence in that game in week one, it's the Eberflus effect and what that defense is going to be able to do to slow down Kyle Shanahan, which is something that he's been able to do in the past.
Interesting. I love that. Well, I'm coming to you from Detroit, all right? So I deal with Detroit Lion fans all day, and they're like Jets fans. They're the eternal optimists that this is going to be the year, right? And they're fired up about what Dan Campbell is doing. But how do you see the division? Here you got Kevin O'Connell. He's, you know, kind of a foundational year there. Matt Eberflus takes over the Bears, certainly. What the Packers have done. They've got the reigning MVP the past couple of years. But just what do you see the landscape of the division this year with a couple of new coaches in the NFC North?
Well, you know what? I hate to say it, but at this point in time, I think the Packers might have the edge. I don't like them to admit this. I didn't come on the air to give the – no, I'm just teasing. You know, I think there's three teams that have – still a lot of question marks. I thought that the Detroit Lions played very hard at the end of last season. It really seemed like the players responded to Dan Campbell. They really, you know, they took his message, his fiery demeanor and everything, and it showed. I have to give them a little bit of credit. They also, you know, at the end of the season ended up firing their offensive coordinator, Anthony Lynn, and they're going to go in a new direction. But to me, again, it's like you still have – Jared Goff is still the quarterback. Like, I'm kind of shocked that they didn't try to take another run. Maybe this wasn't the draft class for that to happen, so maybe they were prudent to wait and not try to, you know, wedge in a Malik Willis or Desmond Ridder or somebody like that, or even Kenny Pickett. I just still think that there are some question marks with the Detroit Lions. Like, I love that every year that it's going to be their year to turn it around, and I'm happy for them. Like, that's an organization you can just never get mad at. You're like, yeah, okay, like, I get it. They come chirping at you a little bit, and you're like, okay, like, that's, we'll listen to you, and you're like, oh, okay, you know, like one of your neighbors. So you know that when you walk past, they're gonna say something, they're going to bother you for a couple of minutes, but ultimately they're harmless, and you just walk away. It's the Vikings, though. Like, everybody looks at the Vikings and they act like it's a fait accompli. Like, they're already better than the Bears. Oh, they got it. They nailed it. I'm like, O'Connell, like, I'm sure he hopefully is going to be a good coach, but it's like, it's not automatic that he's coming in and on, you know, turning around this team instantly. Like, there's still, you know, some questions with them as well. You know, it wasn't all, you know, just the coaching staff. So, again, me being the eternal optimist, I guess, and obviously a little biased, I still just look at this Bears team. I guess the biggest thing is, like, I just don't like the insinuation that they didn't do anything to get better when they certainly did. Yeah. They certainly improved defensively. I know they traded. I know that brand names, we lost some big-time players name recognition-wise. But, like, I love Khalil Mack. He played 7 games. Okay, like, I love Akeem Hicks. He played, what, 9 games? I don't know. But it's like, these guys weren't really playing all that much. Like, I love them. Like, I'll let my kids still wear their jerseys. But, like, we weren't losing. We're not losing productive players from that. Allen Robinson, who I love. Love Allen Robinson. But I'm like, all right. Like, it was time to go. Like, it wasn't working out anymore. And that's fine. I have nothing but love and respect for you. But it was time to go. I think it's going to be okay. I think everybody needs to understand it's going to be okay. And by the way, for all the Packer fans who are making memes about our receiving core, like, do you ever want to do a point counterpoint on receiving cores? Because I will tell you right now, if you put the Bears receiving core up against the Packers receiving core, there is not a receiver better than Darnell Mooney. Like, the Packers don't have a Darnell Mooney. Like, you have a lot of faith in Alan Lazard. Maybe the 4 games that Sammy Watkins plays, he's all right. But you cannot tell me that they have a better receiving core than us. I won't listen to it.
He bleeds navy blue and orange. His name is synonymous with entertainment. Adam Rank, thank you so much. You had key dates for the Bears this year: Week 1 Niners, Week 10 Lions, Week 11 Falcons, Week 12 Jets, and you actually wrote that the Week 13 matchup against the Packers is going to be a big one, because there are winnable games throughout here. And when, you know, you theoretically hope that when they get, you know, listen, Week 1 is the great unknown. We say it every year for every team in the league. You don't know what's going to happen in Week 1, but if they get their feet under them and they get some sort of chemistry brewing, you never know what's going to happen. You just don't know. So we'll be watching from your perspective as well. Thank you so much for joining us. We'll talk to you down the road.
Thank you.
Thank you, Adam.
Thank you. By the way, another – Thank you, guys. Another key date, August 3rd. I'll be out at Bears training camp with the NFL Network, so I hope
you
to see you guys.
You better say hello. You better say hello.
Of course.
All right, we'll be looking forward to seeing you. Adam Rank, our guest here on Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score, thanking him so much. All right, some quick hitters. Jim, we'll start with you. The development today, again, the emphasis on quick. So quick hitters, Kyler Murray's deal, Arizona, north of $230
million. It is shocking. And now Lamar Jackson is going to be the next in line. You would think Lamar is going to want more because he's done more than Kyler Murray. You know, this was an odd offseason because his agent throws out the number and, you know, actually Arizona was kind of insulted about it. No, we're the one that throws out the offer, not you. You know, so and then they had to retract it and they're going back and forth and he's not at OTAs. And then after the draft, it started to soften and go in another direction where they were communicating. Steve Kimes softened the stance and said, hey, typically these deals get done before training camp. And what is he going to have? He's got to have the grace of ownership, right? So they give Steve Kime an extension, the GM. They give the coach the extension, Cliff Kingsbury. So it makes sense. They chose this quarterback and that this deal was going to get done. So, no, the numbers don't surprise me, and Lamar Jackson's will be even bigger.
All right, Tom, in New England, still no official offensive or defensive coordinator, but titles given. Joe Judge, offensive assistant quarterback. Matt Patricia, football, senior advisor and offensive line. Steve Belichick, Gerard Mayo, linebacker coaches. Is this a new wave?
No, it's not a new wave. It's just a way of Bill Belichick acts with the media. There is a long time before we're going to call any plays, so we don't need to designate any guys with these types of titles. It's weird, but it's Belichick.
All right, last question. You got to be quick, Big Jim. The player you most want to see at training camp when you come to visit on the 28th.
You know the answer to that. Actually, Justin Fields. This is easy. That's
all
what
right.
I'll be focusing on.
Tom, give me one.
Again, I probably sound like a broken record, but I want to see Cole Kmet. I want to see that he – because that first game of the year, you're going to be playing against George Kittle. I want Cole to go out there and fill the go toe-to-toe.
All right, I want to see what Nick Hale-Harry looks like in terms of this offense and how he fits in. Is he going to get the new fresh slate and feel good about where he's at? That'll be exciting to watch. Well, Jim, we'll be seeing you coming up to camp. I imagine that's your first trip, right, of the tour this year?
Always kick it off with Chicago Bears.
Attaboy.
So it'll be you and I together,
Attaboy.
Buddy.
All right, good to talk to you. Thanks again, as always. Tom, take a nap, buddy. I think you've been working too hard today.
No way. I'm ready to roll.
All right. We'll see you at training camp. Thanks as well to Adam Rank from NFL Network, our producers, Jordan Tredup, as always, with help from Dan Barilli, and also Adam Tadzinski here on The Score. Appreciate you listening, everybody. See you out at training camp at Hallisaw this year. Should be exciting. Should be fun. That'll do it tonight on Bears All Access, brought to you by IGS Energy on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Good night, everybody.
Thanks for listening to this Chicago Bears Network presentation of Bears All Access. Podcasts are available on chicagobears.com and on iTunes, or download the official Bears mobile app. Bears All Access has been brought to you by IGS Energy and sponsored by Miller Lite.